It's lovely for me to be in Durgan Baptist this morning. Thank the oversight for their invitation. And we are on strange days, so I trust that the internet will work. It has crashed a few times this morning. Our brother has been running back and forth there. It's like a run out for him, but we trust it'll stay on as we preach the word this morning. Come please to 1 Peter chapter 5. 1 Peter chapter 5 and some very, very well-known verses. And what I want to speak about this morning is really casting all our care upon the Lord. And this is something that we're instructed to do in the Word of God. It's something that we really need to do. And let's just see what the Word of the Lord would say to our hearts this morning. 1 Peter chapter 5, and let's read from verse 5, please. 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 5. Likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder, and all of you be subject one to another, and be clothed with humility, for God resisteth the proud and giveth grace to the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. We'll read verse 7 again. Casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. We'll end there, and we trust the Lord will bless his word to our hearts this morning. Please keep your Bible open. If you're at home in a quiet place and you have a bit of room, get your Bible on your knee. We're going to be looking at what the Word of the Lord says this morning. Now, when you and I got saved, when we got born again and our sins were forgiven, we got eternal life straight away. And we got eternal salvation and we got eternal forgiveness. And we have an eternal home in heaven. But we're not immune from trouble. There are some dear people who believe that when you get saved, your trials and troubles are over and you have no more heartaches and headaches. But the reality is that even though we're born again, even though we're in the family of God, even though our sins are gone, we still have to face the troubles and trials of life. And sometimes those troubles and trials can give us weary days and sleepless nights. In fact, I was thinking about a verse in Ecclesiastes 8 and verse 16. And King Solomon said, "For also there is that neither day nor night seeth sleep with his eyes." And King Solomon recognized that there were people who never were able to close an eye. They were so concerned about life and so worried about things that they were unable to close their eyes, either day or night. We can have sleepless nights. We can have weary days. And these cares and concerns and worries, they really rob us of that peace of God that passeth all understanding. And as we read through the Word of God, we discover many of God's finest people who lost their peace. Even though the Lord was with them and even though the Lord had spoken to them, they had got to the place where they thought that absolutely no one cared about them. I want you to come with me, please, to Psalm 142, just for a moment or two, please. Psalm 142, and let's look at verse 4. The context of this psalm is that David had been put out of his home. He had to run from his family. He had to leave the city. And David actually became a caveman. I know we learn, and well, it's really rubbish, but they talk about ape men and cavemen, and there's never been an ape man ever, ever, ever. God created man in his own image. There's never been an ape man, but there has been plenty of cavemen. And David became a caveman. He was dwelling in caves. He was fearful for his life. In fact, during the Great Tribulation time, the population of this world will become cavemen once again. We read in Revelation chapter 6 and verse 16 or so there, it says that they hid themselves in the dens and in the rocks of the mountains and cried on the rocks and mountains to fall on us and hide us from the face of him that sitteth on the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb, for the great day of his wrath has come, and who will be able to stand? And you see, men will become cavemen again. And here we have David, and he's literally become a caveman. Now let's look at Psalm 142 and verse 4 just for a moment or two, please. David says, "I looked on my right hand and beheld, but there was no man that would know me." You could almost see David looking out of the cave and he's looking around and he can't see anyone who's going to help him. And he really says that no one understands me. No one understands my circumstances. I've lost everything. I've had to leave my home. I'm very uncomfortable in this dark dungeon of a cave. He says, no one understands my circumstances. He says, no one understands my condition. He says, I'm afraid and I'm lonely. No one understands my concerns. How am I ever going to get back to the place where I want to be? And David cries out that no one understands me. And then look at the next part of the verse. He says, I looked on my right hand and beheld, but there was no man that would know me. He says, refuge failed me. And when I read this, I thought about Psalm 46. This is the same man who wrote Psalm 46. You remember verse 1, it says that God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore will we not fear, though the earth be removed and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea and so on. And here's the man who wrote that wonderful psalm that has been a comfort to many people on many occasions. And yet he says, refuge failed me. What he's saying is that God is a refuge for everybody else, but he's not a refuge for me. And he's forgotten the word of God. He says that no one understands me. He says that no one protects me. Refuge failed me. And then look at this wee bit. It says, no man cared for my soul. He says, no one cares for me. David has lost his peace. He's convinced in his heart that nobody cares about him whatsoever. He's unappreciated, he's unloved, he's unmissed, he's unnoticed. He's out in the cave and he says that no man cared for my soul. You can see that it was a distressing situation and he lost his peace. Come with me, please, to Luke's Gospel chapter 10. And when we come to Luke's Gospel chapter 10, it's not so much a distressing situation that David found himself in, but this is now a domestic situation that Martha found herself in. Come with me to Luke chapter 10 and verse 40. When we think about this passage of Scripture, it doesn't seem as bad. You would say, well, David's trouble is much worse than Martha's trouble. And we would start to compare it and say, well, she's better off than he was. But you know, friends, it's not really proper for us to compare our troubles to anybody else. We might look at our situation and say, look at all the things that are against me. And we might look at Brother Colin there and say, well, he's doing well. And look at, he's looking well and he hasn't got any gray hair. And his troubles are not as big as mine. But you know, it's not fair to do that because everybody's troubles are real to them. And even though this is just a domestic situation, it's real to Martha. Let's look at verse 40. It says in Luke chapter 10 and verse 40, but Martha was cumbered about with much serving and came to him and said, Lord, dost thou not care? Imagine saying that to the Lord Jesus. Lord, dost thou not care that my sister hath left me to serve alone? Better therefore that she help me. And Jesus answered and said unto her, Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things. Martha seems to be a warrior. I'm a bit of a warrior myself. And Martha seems to be one of the warriors of life. She's careful and troubled about many things. You see, Martha had been preparing the home for a guest. The Lord Jesus was coming to Martha's home. And Martha was making sure that everything was spick and span for the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. She was making sure that there was no dust in the hidden corners. You know how it is at times. And she was making sure that everything was clean and tidy. You see, the Lord Jesus was coming to her home and Martha was making all the preparations for this guest to her home. And friends, when we think on a spiritual level, we have a blessed hope. We know the Lord Jesus is coming. And we ought to be making preparations in our lives for the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. He's coming to receive us unto himself. There's a verse in 1 John chapter 3 and verse 3. It says, and every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself even as he is pure. And there ought to be a purifying because the Lord Jesus is coming. And Martha was getting the home clean because the Savior was coming to her home. But when the Lord Jesus came, you see, it was Mary who was in the limelight. If you read on down, you'll discover that Mary sat at his feet and heard his word. And Martha, she's stuck in the kitchen and you could almost see her. The sweat's blinding her and she could hear the conversation going on, but she's not really involved. And as far as she's concerned, she doesn't even exist. And the longer she stands in the kitchen and the more noise she hears out in the room, she can't take it anymore. And she bursts out and she says, Lord, dost thou not care? And you see, in the domestic situation, Martha had lost her peace. She thought that the Lord Jesus didn't care. And this was just a domestic situation. She had lost her peace. David, in his distressing situation, he had lost his peace. I want you to come to Mark chapter 4, please. Mark chapter 4. And we're moving now from a distressing situation and a domestic situation, but now we're coming to a dangerous situation. Let's come to Mark's Gospel chapter 4, please. Mark chapter 4 and verse 37. This time we find the disciples of the Lord Jesus. And you'll be noticing this just the way I have noticed it. You'll notice the link between all these passages that I have read to you this morning. Mark chapter 4 and verse 37. And there arose a great storm of wind, and the waves beat into the ship so that it was now full. I don't know if you've ever been in a ship that was full, or a little boat that was full. My best friend Sammy and I, we made a boat one time and we floated on the Ballinderry River where we lived, and we looked round and, well, the boat was full and she was only going one way, and that was down to the bottom. That's where she ended up. And me and him had to jump off, and we were only wee fellas, and we would never let our children do what we did, but that's what we did anyway. And we had to swim for it and try to make it onto the side. But this boat was full. This boat couldn't take any more. And the sailors, they couldn't take any more. They had it. Look what it says in the next verse. And he was in the hinder part of the ship asleep on a pillow, and they awake him and say unto him, Master, carest thou not that we perish? The disciples had come to this dangerous situation. They thought they were going to the bottom. They knew about the Sea of Galilee, and they knew how deep it was, and they knew how dangerous it was. And they seen the storm, and the boat was full, and the Lord sleeping in the back of the ship. And they run and they say, Lord, Master, carest thou not that we perish? Now, I want you to notice something. Even though the Lord Jesus was there, they had the presence of the Lord, but they had lost the peace of the Lord. And you'll see Martha in her home, and she had the presence of the Lord, and she had the word of the Lord, and she still lost the peace of the Lord. And as believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, you and I are guaranteed the presence of the Lord, because the Lord hath promised us, I will never leave thee. And when you read that verse in Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 5, and this is why I love the King James Version of the Bible, because the word thee is a singular word. The word you and yours, all plural words, but that's just for me. I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. And you see, friends, it's wonderful. There's a personal promise from the Lord about his presence. And yet, I have lost the peace of God many times. I'm sure you would admit to have losing it as well. And even though the disciples had the presence of the Lord in the boat, they still thought that the Lord Jesus didn't care. Master, carest thou not that we perish? You'll notice the link between those passages. David said, no man cared for my soul. Martha said, Lord, carest thou not? Dost thou not care? The disciples said, Master, carest thou not that we perish? And they had all got to the place where they thought that nobody cared. Now come back to 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 7. You see, the Bible tells us here, casting all your care upon him for... So this is the reason. You're going to cast your care upon him, for he careth for you. Now, if you got to the place where David got to, and if you got to the place where Martha got to, and if you got to the place where the disciples got to, you would never do this. You would never cast your care upon him because you're thinking that he doesn't care. And the very first thing I want us to notice this morning is that there's a lesson to learn. Look what the lesson is. The lesson is that he careth for you. If we get to the place, even though we have the presence of the Lord, and even though we have the word of the Lord, and we can still lose the peace of God that passeth all understanding, and you see, if we think that he doesn't care, then we'll never get on our knees or never lift our eyes and say, Lord, I'm giving this burden over to you. You see, Psalm 55 and verse 22, it just simply says, cast thy burden upon the Lord, and he shall sustain thee. He shall never suffer the righteous to be moved. And you see, friends, the lesson to learn is that he careth for you. He always cares, no matter what the situation is. If it's a distressing situation, he cares for you. If it's a domestic situation, he careth for you. If it's a dangerous situation, he careth for you. When you can't take any more, just like the old ship was full, it couldn't take any more, and the disciples couldn't take any more, it didn't change the fact that he careth for you. When you can't give any more, he careth for you. When you can't pray any more, he careth for you. When you can't function any more, he careth for you. I want you to look at verse 7. 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 7. And I want you to see something missing from the verse. The verse doesn't say, if we cast all our care upon him, he careth for you. It doesn't say that. Because even we don't cast all our care upon him, he still cares for us. This is absolutely unconditional. You see, God's love for you and I is not triggered when we obey him. No, it's not. You see, the Bible says in Jeremiah 31 and verse 3, I have loved thee, again there's the word thee there, with an everlasting love, therefore with loving kindness have I drawn thee. In John chapter 13 and verse 1, at the end of the verse there, it says, having loved his own which were in the world, he loved them unto the end. And again in Romans chapter 5 and verse 8, but God commendeth his love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. You see, God's love for us is not triggered when we start to do what he says. God loves us, in spite of what we do. And the verse doesn't say, if we cast all our care upon him, then he will care for you. There's a lesson to learn, and the lesson simply is this: he careth for you. The second thing I want you to notice is that there's an action to take, a lesson we need to learn, but there's an action we need to take. Look at verse 7 again, please. Casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. This is something that we have to do. You see, the Lord Jesus will not come and steal your troubles and your cares. He'll not force them from us. He'll not take them from us. He wants us to give them to him. Look what it says, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. There's an action that we need to take. You can see that it's very simple, casting. As I've already said, I was born in a little village, Coke County, Tyrone. It's about 30 miles or a bit less down the road there. And through our village, there ran the Ballinderry River. In fact, the Ballinderry River ran right behind the garden of our house. And from we were wee boys, my brother Ian and Jeff and I, and our best friend Sammy, we learned to fish. And we learned to cast. We could take the spinning rod and cast it. The Ballinderry River's not that wide. It's maybe just from here to that wall there. And it's not too hard to cast it to the far side. And then we got the fly rod out, and it's not too hard to cast it to the far side. But when I went to live in Limavady in 2003, I met a friend there called John, and he took me to fish in Sion Mills to the Mourne River, and my, it's wider than this whole church, it's some river. And you see, my wee cast, it just didn't work. I couldn't get the thing far enough away to be any use, so I had to learn a new way to cast. And John learned me how to, what they call, spay cast. And what you have to do is you put it away better, I guess, and it's all about technique and it's all about timing, and I'm not very good at it, but you can throw the thing out an absolute mile. And you see, I had to learn a new way to cast. And you know, friends, there's an action we need to learn. We need to learn a new way to cast. When it comes to getting rid of our burdens, we need to learn this new way to get it as far away from us as possible and just give it unto the Lord. Here's what it says in the Bible, casting. There's something that we can do. It's an action. And then look at the burden, casting all your care. This is something that we have, all the worries and concerns that we have. And then there's a person upon him. Oh, there'll be nothing too big for him. There'll be nothing too small for him. And then there's a reason that says, for he careth for you. There's something we can do. There's something we have. There's someone we can trust. And there's something we can believe. He careth for you. So you can see the lesson we need to learn. You can see the action we need to take. And then I want you to notice the pattern we need to follow. I know the time's going on here, but we'll just go a few minutes more if we can. Look at verse 5. This is the pattern we need to follow, because when the Word of God tells us to do something, it always tells us how to do it. This is the wonder of God's Word. It's not just leaving us in the dark. It's not like the government. The government sort of leaves you hanging. You don't know what to do. But you see, when the Lord tells you to do something, then he always tells you how to do it. And there's a pattern we need to follow here. We'll do it very quickly. If you look at verse 5, it says, "Likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. Yea, all of you be subject one to another. Be clothed with humility. For God resisteth the proud, giveth grace to the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time." The pattern we need to follow to cast our all our care upon the Lord is written in these verses here. The first thing I want you to notice is our attitude. It's really an attitude of heart. It says, be subject. The word subject there, it has to do, it's a beautiful Greek word. I wouldn't know a bunch about the Greek, but it means two things. First of all, it means to give in. And you know, if we're going to cast all our cares upon the Lord, we need to be subject, we need to give in. I'm quite a stubborn person, as anybody knows me would be able to tell you. And I would find it hard to ask anybody for help. I would lift things that I shouldn't be lifting myself, and I would try to do things that I shouldn't be doing myself. But you see, if you're going to cast all your care upon him, you have to be willing to give in. You have to be willing to ask for help. And that's what that word subject really means. It also means cooperation. It has the idea of walking together. It has the idea of talking together. Remember, there's a verse in 1 John chapter 2 and verse 6. It says, "He that saith he abideth in him ought himself also so to walk, even as he walked." And this word has the idea of walking together. It has the idea of talking together. Our brother had the verse up on the screen there, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 17. Pray without ceasing. And you see, when we're walking and when we're talking, when we're in close communion with the Lord, then we will find it easy to cast all our care upon him. There's an attitude of heart, first of all, but then there's an adornment. Look what it says in verse 5, "and be clothed with humility." You see, if we're going to cast all our care upon him, our attitude of heart must be right, but our adornment of humility must be in place. The word clothed there, the Greek word translated clothed there, it only appears once in the Bible. In fact, Peter uses a lot of words in his epistles that nobody else uses. But this word clothed, it signifies a garment that slaves wore. It was a garment that was easily identified by everybody else. If you saw this garment, you knew that person's a slave. That person didn't belong to themselves. They belonged to someone else. They were just a slave. And I was thinking, when Peter was writing this, "be clothed with humility," perhaps he was thinking about the upper room. You remember in the upper room in John chapter 13 that the Lord Jesus was girded himself with a towel and he stooped down and he washed the disciples' feet. He was clothed with humility. And perhaps Peter's thinking about the Lord Jesus with this towel wrapped around him, and he's clothed with humility. The Lord Jesus leaves the upper room and he makes his way to the Garden of Gethsemane, and he falls on his face and he prays to his heavenly Father. And what he's doing, he's casting all his care upon his heavenly Father. And Peter perhaps got it into his mind that this is what we need to do. We need to be like the Lord Jesus. We need to be clothed with humility. We need to be willing to give in and cooperate with God if we're going to cast all our care upon him. There's an attitude of heart. There's an adornment of humility. And then I want you to notice what happens next. There's an abundance of help. Look at verse 5. It says, "Be subject one to another, be clothed with humility, for..." You see, when our attitude of heart is right, and when we're adorned with humility, then look what it says, "For God resisteth the proud and giveth grace to the humble." You see, when the attitude of heart is right and when we're adorned with humility, then there's an abundance of help. God just gives us grace. There's a verse, I think it is, in Psalm 68 and verse 19. It says, "Blessed be the Lord, who daily loadeth us with benefits, even the God of our salvation." And friends, this is what happens when the attitude of heart is right and when we're adorned with humility. God just heaps grace upon grace upon grace on our lives. So there's an abundance of help, but then there's something else. Look at verse 6. "Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time." So you can see this pattern now. First of all, there's an attitude of heart. There's an adornment of humility. There's an abundance of help. And then there's an awareness of heaven, that he may exalt you. It gets us to lift our eyes and expect the blessing and the grace of the Lord. And it's only when the attitude of heart is right and the adornment of humility is right that God pours his grace upon us and it becomes sufficient, sustaining, strengthening grace. And that enables us to do what it says, look at verse 7, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. Now, the word casting is a word that Peter uses, and it's only used on one other verse in the whole Bible. I want you to come over to it, please. It's Luke chapter 19 and verse 35. And Peter uses this word casting, and it's only used in Luke 19, verse 35, but it's used three times in this one verse. And this verse paints a lovely picture. In fact, it's a beautiful picture of what it really means to cast all our care upon him, for he careth for you. Let's look at Luke 19, verse 35. It says, and they brought him, now this is talking about a wee donkey, and they brought him to Jesus, and they cast, now that's the same Greek word, cast, their garments upon, that's the same Greek word that Peter uses, casting. So they cast their garments upon, that's the same word, the colt, and that's the same Greek word as well, they set, look how that's spelled there, S-E-T. It doesn't say that the Lord Jesus S-A-T on it. No. They set. They actually took the Lord and they set the Lord Jesus thereon. Now you can see what the picture that's being painted. First of all, they brought the donkey to the Lord Jesus. Look what it says, verse 35. They brought him to Jesus and they cast their garments. So they took their garments off. These are their outer garments. You know that there were garments and there was a vesture. Psalm 22:18 tells us that. But these are the outer garments. So they took what was on their shoulders, what was burdening them down was taken off. That was the first thing they did. They cast their garments. And then look what it says, they cast their garments upon. So what they were once carrying on their shoulders is now upon the wee donkey. So that's the first part of it. It's taking it off and it's setting it on the back of somebody else. But then look what it says next. It says, and they sat Jesus thereon. Now that's what it means to cast your care upon him. You take off that was burdening you down, you get rid of it, and you set the Lord Jesus Christ. It comes under the authority of the Lord Jesus Christ. I was thinking this morning, as I was sitting at the kitchen table and looking over my notes and reading the verses and praying, I was thinking about the donkey's back. I'd never thought about this before, but you know that on the little donkey's back, there's a cross. And you see, they've took the burden off and they've put it on top of the cross on the donkey's back. And then they've got the Lord Jesus and they've set the Lord Jesus on top of the garment, on top of the cross. And you can see that what was once on their shoulders is now sandwiched between the cross and the Lord Jesus Christ. What a picture. You see, we cast all our care upon him because he died on the cross for us. Now, to get those garments back, they're going to have to take the Lord off the cross, aren't they? And they're going to have to take them back again. And you know, friends, if we're going to cast all our care upon him, we have to remember that Jesus Christ died on the cross for us. And he's willing to take our burdens upon him. He says, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. You see, there's a lesson we need to learn. There's an action we need to take. There's a pattern we need to follow. And then there's a blessing that we will enjoy. Now, let's look at verse 5. I'm going to finish here. I want you to see how this works now because this is wonderful. Be subject one to another. That's the attitude of heart. That's how it begins. When we have this attitude of heart that we're willing to give in, we're willing to give up, we're willing to cooperate with him. So there's an attitude of heart. And then it says, be clothed with humility. There's an adornment of humility. If we're proud, if we say, well, we're not taking any help, I've made my bed, I'm going to lie in it. If we're too proud, then we'll never cast our care upon him. So there's an attitude of heart. There's adornment of humility. Then there's abundance of help. He giveth grace to the humble. God just gives us grace. That he may exalt you in due time. There's an awareness of heaven. But then this is the wee bit I want you to see. Casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. There's an appreciation of him. It begins with an attitude of heart, And it ends with an appreciation of him. And when we appreciate him, we'll have no trouble casting all our cares upon him. Look at verse 5 again. Casting. I've written in here, that's unceasing. When you're fishing, I'm a fisherman, and when you're, especially when you're fly fishing, you're always casting. And you throw the fly out, and you wait till it floats down, and you lift it out, and you throw it up again, and you wait till it floats. It's unceasing. And during the rough times of life, dear friends, and during every moment of life, this is something we should be doing every moment of every day, just casting, casting. And then it says casting all your care. It's not just unceasing, it's unconditional. It doesn't matter what the care is. It could be financial trouble, and many people are in financial trouble. It could be physical trouble. It could be mental trouble. It could be spiritual trouble. It could be anything, marital trouble, family trouble. But it doesn't matter what it is. It just says casting all your care. So it's unconditional and it's unceasing. And then it says casting all your care upon him. Oh, it's unlimited. The one who bore our sins, all of our sins in his own body in the tree, I'll tell you, he's not worried a bit about our wee troubles. We can cast everything upon him. It's unlimited. The big things and the small things, for he careth. It's unquestionable. When we see the Lord Jesus on the cross, we can't question his love for us. You can see that it's unceasing, it's unconditional, it's unlimited, it's unquestionable. And then listen to this. It says, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. And that's unbeatable. That's the great God of heaven who actually cares for you and for me. And when we get that into our hearts and into our heads, then we'll be able just to cast all our care upon him, for he careth for you. The Lord will bless his word to your hearts this morning. The group's going to come and sing again for us, and we appreciate their singing. It's been lovely. And then I'll just close the meeting in a word of prayer. Close this part of the meeting in a word of prayer. Thank you.
Message us, fired by Savior, whose love constrained them to toil with sea long time. From cowardice defend us, from lethargy away. Forth on thine errand send us, to labor for thy sake. We go to all the world with kingdom hope unfurled. No other name has power to save but Jesus Christ the Lord. We go to all the world with kingdom hope unfurled. No other name has power to save but Jesus Christ the Lord.
Father, we thank thee again for thy blessing upon us this morning. We thank thee for the beautiful ministry and song. It's lifted our hearts and we praise thee for it. We thank thee we can lift our voices and praise the wonderful name of the Lord Jesus. We thank thee the word of God says it's a good thing to give thanks unto the Lord and to sing praises unto thy name, O Most High. And Father, we thank thee for thy word this morning. We pray that it might have been a benefit to thy people. We pray that together we might be able to cast our care upon the Lord. We realize it's easier said than done, but we realize, Father, that when we appreciate that he cares for us, then we find it a little easier. So we pray for thy blessing upon thy word. And again, Father, for the gospel this evening, for this little time now that the folks online are going to spend around the table too, we pray for that and pray that they would know the help and the blessing of the Lord as they remember the Savior and the Lord. So we commit ourselves to thee. Keep us safe in these days. Bless our homes, bless our families, and please save our loved ones, we pray, in the Savior's name. Amen.